it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
You're back with Total Information AM. I'm Megan Lynch. President Trump mobilizing federal law enforcement agents to Memphis, Tennessee. It's the third city that will see National Guard troops on its streets, and the president has said St. Louis is on the list.
We think Chicago is going to be next, and we'll get to St. Louis also.
Joining me now, Bloomberg senior reporter covering federal law enforcement, Miles Miller. Miles, thank you so much for being with us this morning.
For sure.
So when we look specifically at this Memphis action, which agencies are going to be involved in this besides the National Guard?
Yeah, so you're looking at a deployment of the FBI, ATF, Drug Enforcement Administration, and Immigration and Customs Enforcement. You know, this will mirror what happened in Washington. It'll be duplicative of the city's police force. The only exception here is that in Washington, the president had that special provision that he could oversee the police department. That won't happen here. Obviously, Memphis's mayor has been very against this policy of bringing people in, and so you'll see them more aligned with state police as well as the governor's office. The governor was at the Oval Office yesterday backing the president's move, and this is something that we've been reporting on for a number of weeks. This action is targeting Democratic-led cities. And initially was focused on Democratic-led cities and Democratic-led states. This is the first deployment that'll happen in a Democratic-led city in a Republican state. And this was something that goes against what was the initial belief, that this was specifically targeting Democratic-led cities. Now you see it happening in a city that is run by a Democrat, but has a Republican governor. And so it's a way for the White House to say, hey, wait, no, this is all about crime, not about politics.
Well, and which is why this is so interesting to the St. Louis area and Missouri, because we have a similar situation here. Talk about Washington, D.C. Have the efforts shown to be successful at this point?
Well, if you look at what the mayor of Washington, D.C. has said, it really sort of has come to bear. You know, what she said is, of course, if you surge more officers into a city, you're going to have more arrests and crime go down. You know, what we looked at initially in our reporting when the surge first started to happen in Washington was that it was less arrests just by the federal officers than D.C. police had done in that same period. In our own reporting, what we found is most of these cases were going through the local court system versus going to federal court. So it's relatively low level crimes that are being investigated by federal agents who have no police experience, right? They do complex cases, they do complex drug cases and conspiracy, and, they learn how to do computer crimes. But an FBI agent is not a police officer. They don't wear a gun belt. And one thing that a source told me that I still find funny to this day is when the FBI comes through your door, they say, FBI, freeze. They don't say, police, stop.
So the question that I would have on Memphis, because it did take some time before National Guard troops actually had weapons. Have we had any guidance on whether National Guard serving in Memphis would be armed?
Yeah, so we're checking with the Defense Department, the Department of War, about that, and they haven't said that just yet. But, I think the federal agents who are going to be there certainly, will do a lot of that, that crime deterrent. And then, the work of the National Guard has largely been to be a presence, in neighborhoods to protect federal agents who are carrying out these arrests. And in some places, they have been basically there to protect federal structures. So they may be outside, Memphis's federal building, the courthouse, you know, IRS office, that kind of thing, to facilitate, you know, federal services continuing. But, you know, the president is pointing to one of the highest homicide rates of any city in the United States. With a population of at least 100,000 last year, Memphis is, you know, really at the top of that list. And so, you know, he feels that he has the right to do this based off those numbers. You don't see those same numbers in Chicago, which is why you got the pushback there.
Our police chief here has said, you know, he's not really going to comment on it until he sees something concrete. What position does this put local law enforcement in?
It puts him in a very difficult position because, you know, I think, you know, what we saw, at least, like, let's talk about, you know, here in New York, when ICE was doing initial detentions, when Trump came into office, you know, it's a sanctuary city, so they were not able to work with ICE. And so you've got, you know, police who have intelligence who can't give it to ICE. And then on top of that, you have deputies, right? So you have people who are in DEA and ATF who don't do ICE detention, that kind of stuff, who are not sharing information with the locals. So when you don't have locals working hand in hand with the feds, then there is a drain of information that goes back and forth. But, you know, a lot of these cities are very ironclad on their sanctuary city rules. You saw it in D.C. You know, yes, we welcome the federal agents, what the mayor said, but, you know, we won't facilitate ICE detention. And now Trump is trying to double down and says he may, you know, bring back the federal forces to Washington.
One final question for you. Is this sustainable from both a personnel and a cost perspective to keep going into more cities?
It may not be sustainable from, you know, a deployment perspective, but this is an administration that has put a premium on tackling violent crime. It's not typically what a lot of these agencies do. FBI has been largely focused on counterterrorism and national security, preventing the next kind of attack. But this is what they're putting their premium on. It's what they asked for money in the big, beautiful bill to do. And so, you know, a lot of these agencies flush with cash. They have to do something with it. And the one thing they want to do with it is try to drive down what they see as a violent crime issue across the country. But the FBI statistics show violent crime is down this year compared to last and compared to the last 3 years.
Miles, thank you so much. Appreciate your time and perspective this morning.
Of course.
That is Bloomberg's Miles Miller joining us on KMOX.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.